We're here in the Johnson Museum with Kathy Rosa Klimaszewski. Kathy is an associate director and the curator of education here. And she and I have worked together, having a lot of fun numerous times, selecting pieces from the Johnson to share with the Art of Horticulture Hort 201 students. Kathy, it's great to be with you today.
Well, thank you, Marcia. We're in the Baroque Gallery of the museum on the European floor, and we're standing in front of a painting by Otto Marsus von Schrieck, which is called Still Life with Thistle, and he painted it about 1670. And it reflects the fascination of the 17th century Dutch with the natural world and its careful documentation. At this time, the microscope was developed, and it allowed people to look at plant and animal life with very close scrutiny. As you can see in this painting, it's a magnificent thistle against a dark background, somewhat foreboding and mysterious. And if you look even more closely at the painting, you'll see other life in the painting besides the thistle.
You know, look closely to the right of your screen, and the detail here is absolutely extraordinary. The thistle is, of course, my favorite part of the piece, but there are butterflies, reptile life, a snake. It looks to be a chameleon or a lizard down here in this lower part of the piece, a cricket. It's really amazing how lovingly created these pieces are. You know, for a while here in the museum, there was a label to the right of the painting, and a point was made in that label by Professor Tom Eisner. He talked about this being called a still life, but really there's absolutely nothing still about it.
An interesting note about Marsus von Schrieck, he carried a terrarium around with him so that he could keep animal and plant specimens in it and study them very closely, which is, I think, pretty fascinating, and made very impressive canvases, which impressed the Grand Duke of Tuscany and other people that he worked with, artists and scientists as well. Marcia, one of the things that anyone could admire about this painting is the technical virtuosity of the artists and their ability to render things in such a lifelike fashion.
And we have two more of them to share with you from this time period by the Dutch masters, so let's move and check them out.
This is one of my favorite paintings in the collection. It's Bonitas Still Life with Portrait by David Bye, another Dutch artist. It was painted in 1650, about 20 years before the painting we just looked at. This painting really rewards close looking. It's referred to as a vanitas painting, and vanitas comes from the Latin word, which refers to worldly possessions and the vanity of all worldly possessions, and also the brevity and insignificance of man's life on earth. If you look closely at the painting, you'll see all kinds of things that also refer to the brevity of life, such as the bubbles that are about to burst, the skull, of course, in the center of the painting, the burning candle, the hourglass, the burning rope along the edge of the table, and if you look really closely into the top of the hourglass, you can see a reflection of the artist as he's painting the canvas. We also will see the beautiful flowers in the center of the painting, which refer to beauty and other things as well, Marcia.
If you'll look at the flowers, look to the right of your screen closely, you'll see the checkered lilies or the fritillaria, and the tulips, and they're drooping, they're starting to fade a bit. And again, as Kathy mentioned, this really refers to the fragility of life. We were talking about this a couple days ago, and we also were thinking about the presence of the tulips, and thinking that to us it spoke of tulip mania, which was a big part of this time period, and humankind's folly, getting so completely swept up that some people would turn in all of their possessions to own one bulb. And again, that's a very fleeting kind of folly. The student reactions to this piece have been very diverse. Some feel it's a bit somber, others feel it's outright unsettling, and yet they all appreciate the incredible detail at rendering a piece such as this one.
It really is a powerful painting, and it comes with a moral imperative to remember that you can't take it with you and to lead a righteous and well-ordered life so that you can make your way to heaven. We've moved along about 150 years to a painting by Cornelis van Spaandonck, another Dutch painter who created this gorgeous still life with flowers about 1793. This piece not only documents specimens of flowers that were popular at the time, but it also speaks of luxury. as only the wealthy could really afford gardens and flowers. We also have to notice the technical virtuosity of this painting again, and just the exquisite detail. You can see dewdrops on the flowers, and you can almost smell the fragrant perfume of the blossoms.
The other thing I'd like to point out to you in this painting is, from the perspective of the horticulturist, we have plants that are very much out of season with one another. For example, look to the right and you'll see a fritillaria, poppy, and here we have pomegranate and grapes. And those, you wouldn't find those together in the garden, but they might be painted together to create a sense of lushness or to document what's in someone's garden. So there are many reasons why artists would engage in this practice. The other thing that I want to talk about here is the, as a horticulturist, we mine these kinds of paintings, so to speak, for the information that we can find. There's a tremendous interest in heirloom gardening, and we'll look back to a painting like this to find out what was growing at a certain time period.
Absolutely, and there may be some symbolism in the painting as well. The poppy is often a reference for sleep, and we see sleeping figures on the base that the vase is actually sitting on.
We hope you've enjoyed these three paintings. Now we're going to take you downstairs in the Johnson Museum to the study gallery, where we have selected some others for you.